friends, I hope you're all doing well and that you're having a good start into the new year. I'm currently still enjoying my calm January, so let's directly dive into the topic of this episode. I know the title is quite strong and maybe you don't even hate your body, but I want to discuss today what kind of relationship we have with our bodies and how to better it. I think it might be a quite complex episode because I want to discuss this from multiple perspectives, but we will work through this together, so let yourself be carried by my thoughts. First of all, what is the very first thing that comes to your mind when you think about your body? Stop. That's it. Stop thinking about it. Either you had an idea or the only thing that popped up in your head was the word nothing. And if you had any thoughts and ideas about it, chances are they were quite negative. In our Western society, our physicality has a lot to do with performance and ideals. There are aesthetic ideals that we want to meet, and we want to be as fit and healthy as possible so we can be more productive in our daily life. So our relationship with our body is deeply rooted in our capitalist performance-oriented society. We want to be able to work a lot and be productive. And so for many of us, the body becomes some kind of machine whose performance we can track and optimize. Body hacking is becoming more and more popular. What tricks can I apply to improve my body and its performance? Here, the body is made an object, something external, alienated from us. Something that can be altered and used. On Instagram, we see advertisements like the following all the time. Buy this powder for more energy. Here are 3 hacks to lose weight easily. Period cramps paralyze you 1 day a month? No problem. Take this food supplement and you will be able to perform normally. And since we're already talking about Instagram, I think this is the social media platform that tempts us the most to compare our bodies. Because it lives from superficiality. Instagram models show us every day what we will never look like and what standard of living we will most likely never achieve. On top of that, body editing programs as well as the rising accessibility of body modifications like aesthetic surgery and other procedures makes the beauty ideals more and more inaccessible, also for men. What I want to say is, it has become difficult to not view your body as an object that has to function and needs to be optimized. Because we are being confronted with these kinds of narratives daily. Another situation that reminds us of our corporeality is when suddenly the body does not function anymore, when we get sick or are in pain. The COVID pandemic also painfully reminded us that we are bodily creatures. Suddenly there was this virus, nobody knew how their own body would react to it, and some people are still fighting its effects. Someone who was healthy before suddenly is not after a COVID infection. It becomes difficult to get out of bed and the tiniest efforts suddenly seem impossible. And the old life in which one took health for granted seems so close and yet so far away. So is that it? Our body is a machine, an alien object that we have to optimize and maintain beautiful, a black box that can let us down at any time? In reality, many patients who come to see me have this underlying mindset. Of course, they are not aware of it. But when the back suddenly starts hurting, they remember, ah yes, I have a body. And it's hurting, how annoying. Someone should take care of it. And then they book an appointment with me to get that fixed as fast as possible so they can back to their old performance. And when I talk to those patients, very often they realize, wait a second, my body does not feel that great on a daily basis. The neck is very tense and they have to take painkillers for headaches once in a while. The unset goal that my patients very often come with is, I would like to not feel my body again. Not, I would like to feel good. Sometimes I really get the feeling that we even forget that we have a body, since we are doing so many things automatically, breathing, digesting, thinking. We don't really have to feel it if it isn't hurting. When everything is fine and we are busy with life, our body just feels like nothing. Only when something happens, when we feel discomfort or look in the mirror and realize that we don't look the way we want to, we remember that we in fact do have a body. And that is often unpleasant. If we're being honest, we often associate our body with negativity. Not being enough, our own mortality, uncertainty. For me, this was the case for a very long time. And I want to use my own story as an example on how to make peace with your body. I will explain how osteopathy helped me on that journey, and I want to invite you to explore your own relationship with your body, with a few tips on how to view it a little more positive. At this point, I think you know me a little already. I'm not a health guru, and I will not give you a guided meditation or any positive affirmations, because my approach towards the body is a different one. So now, onto my story. My body and I had a relatively bad start from the beginning because I was a very sickly baby and child, and my mother had to spend many hours with me at the pediatrician and even the hospital sometimes. I was basically sick all the time, and I was just really not a robust child. By the way, I don't get sick often anymore, but I still wouldn't use the word robust to describe myself. As children, we perceive the world differently. We are learning what am I and what is outside, and the own body is used for play, for running around, and for cuddling. I remember that as a child, I was a lot more aware of my own body than as a grown-up, because that is how we discover the world. Then when I got older and closer to puberty, I started having the typical self-doubts that young girls have. I realized that I did not look like the other girls in my class. I was always a little shorter and at the same time a bit more round. Today I understand that my body type has to do with my Eastern European heritage, and that helps me to accept it better. German women are just taller and built more athletic. I was always rather soft, and that made me quite insecure. And then I did what most teens would do in this situation. I started dieting because I wanted that athletic look that my peers had. And I pushed through that for some time, which harmed my relationship with my body even more. And no matter how skinny I was always dissatisfied. For a few years, I was unhealthily focused on my body image, and it made me feel quite bad. And then something changed. Due to the years of strict dieting and all the stress that came with it, my hormonal balance got disrupted, and my cortisol levels were too high, which made me gain weight despite my dieting. And suddenly I felt even worse, but there was nothing that I could do. No matter what I ate and how much I trained, my hormones made it impossible to lose weight. And suddenly I had to deal with a totally different body type. During this time I started studying osteopathy, and maybe my classmates remember what I looked like back then. When you gain weight through excess cortisol, you get a quite round face and collect weight mostly around your midsection. I was not really overweight, but to me it was a huge difference to the body that I had during my strict diet phase. Well, I could say that it kind of was my studies that healed me from that, but it didn't happen overnight. Instead, it took multiple years. And I will discuss with you which factors contributed to me developing a healthier relationship with my body. So one thing that I already discussed in one German podcast episode is that when you study osteopathy, of course, you practice everything on each other. And especially in the beginning years of training, you have to get familiar with the human anatomy, so you spend a lot of hours in underwear with your classmates. So on one hand, I was forced to show my body in front of 20 other people in one room. On the other hand, it very quickly gave me a realistic idea of what a human body looks like. With time, the more I distanced myself from that inside, the more my hormones restored their balance, and I also got slimmer again. And I had stopped exercising so excessively and had developed a healthy relationship with food. But during this time, it was quite difficult for me to accept that I had no control about what I looked like anymore. I had to accept that my hormones had to rebalance themselves, but I did not know whether this would actually happen or how long it would take. I think all in all, this took me 2 to 3 years, although I can't reconstruct that so well now. But during this time I realized, no matter how slim I was before, I was never content. And now I'm still not, so there must be something wrong. So I was forced to confront myself with my unhealthy behaviors and thoughts, because I didn't want to be unhappy all the time. What also helped me tremendously was to understand how my body actually works. The subjects physiology and inner medicine gave me a comprehension on the metabolic processes in my body and how everything is connected, and that's how I really understood my hormonal problem and everything started to make sense. My body was not a black box that was randomly out of control. It is a complex but very delicately adjusted system that does everything to keep me alive. I had been always interested in medicine, and this made me think, wow, so cool how all of this works, and thank you, body, for doing all of that for me. Understanding how the body and our health work gives you a lot of autonomy. You don't easily fall for diets anymore when you know how your metabolism works and which nutrients do what in the body. The same for exercise. When you understand what type of movement has which effect on the body, it is quite easy to stay fit and healthy without a fitness plan or personal trainer. I can only recommend, learn how your body functions instead of paying expensive coaches who sell you prepared answers. Another very specific step that improved my body image was osteopathic philosophy. During osteopathy studies, we had multiple philosophy classes where we read philosophical but also osteopathic philosophical texts. Osteopathy has its very own philosophy on the human body, in which the body is seen as something inherently sacred and health is seen as an expression of life. I will not get deeper into that right now because I already have some episodes on that. The final step in my evolution towards a healthier relationship with my body was being in contact with patients. In university, I was already used to working with patients, but it was always the same people. When I started doing osteopathic internships, I saw people of different ages in various stages of their life. All these patients differed so much, as well as their bodies. But they had one similarity. They all had a body, and they all had to deal with it. By the way, if you're wondering whether your osteopaths judge your body and looks when you come to us for treatment, we don't. I know that some patients don't feel comfortable because it is not normal for them to show themselves and their bodies like that. But believe me, our focus is elsewhere and we don't care about your figure. Osteopaths are like little detectives that really want to find out where the root cause of your problem lies. And we are so busy with that that we don't care to waste time to think about your looks. Furthermore, we see mostly with our hands and these are not interested in any beauty ideals. Observing myself doing that was also really interesting because I thought, if I do not care what other people look like, why would others care about my body? We really put this pressure on ourselves. At this point, some years had passed and my hormonal balance was back to normal as well as my weight. It was a long way during which I had learned how the human body functions and who I am as a therapist. I had developed a healthy and intuitive relationship with food and also developed a more free and fun approach towards exercise. And we should not forget, as a white, able-bodied, healthy young woman, I never experienced any discrimination towards my body. And I didn't have to face any chronic illness or disorder. I understand that these are privileges. Still, I did not have a healthy relationship towards my body. I rejected it for a long time. So what is my recommendation now? Go and study osteopathy, learn how your body functions, deep dive into a totally new philosophy, spend 5 years in underwear with your peers and then go see 8 patients a day? That would be a bit unrealistic. No, actually I want to touch on a point that did not come up in this discussion yet. If we're being honest, my story is a little superficial. I could not accept my body for my looks, meaning I had the same superficial and objectifying view towards my body that I criticized in the beginning. I never had this wish to have more energy and make my body perform better, but that's probably because I was young and healthy. I was always content with my fitness and my energy levels. But for now, I will put looks and performance into one box, and I will label it with the word objectification, because these expectations objectify our own body. But what if we change perspective? What if we don't ask, what do you want my body to be? What if we ask, what can it do instead? A new perspective that osteopathy gave me for my life was the concept of sensing, of feeling. We do not really value our senses in our society. Everything is very cognitive, everything is measurable, everything is rational. In osteopathy, this does not work. As I told you before, we osteopaths see with our hands. Our eyes see maybe 10%. We have trained our hands to be way more precise than our eyes. I can't see whether a joint is moving freely or not, but my fingers can sense that. That's what we call the art of palpation. And that's how I learned trusting what I feel more than what I see with my eyes. And a totally new world of perception opened up to me. Let's do a little experiment. You're going on a walk now in January. It's cold, it's gray, the streets are still a bit wet because it rained recently. It's not very pleasurable, but you are still outside. And suddenly behind you, you hear a loud splash accompanied by a child's laugh. You turn around and a 4-year-old in cute rain clothes is joyfully jumping into a puddle. And you can't stop yourself from smiling, hearing his cute giggle. You keep walking and you enter a park. During spring and summer, it is always so lively here. Children playing, parents drink coffee, couples have romantic little dates on the benches. Now the park is empty and there's no green, no leaves on the trees and bushes. While walking, you feel that the floor is changing, from concrete to a softer ground. The wet soil gives in a little when you step on it. You almost feel like you're bouncing a little, and it makes a crisp sound when you step on it. Suddenly it feels as if the floor is carrying you. You keep walking, you look up towards this cloudy sky. It will turn dark soon, there was not a lot of daylight today. Suddenly you sense the smell of coffee and pastries. The cafe next to you sells their goods out of a window. Maybe a cinnamon roll is not the worst idea. And while you wait in line, debating whether you prefer a croissant maybe, a beam of sunlight hits you right on the forehead. It is weak and it disappears after a few seconds, but it felt nice and gave you a secret promise that spring is not that far away anymore. What did we just do? We took an ordinary walk in January that you maybe only do to get your steps in for the day, and we made a sensual pleasure out of it. All we can see and think is tristesse. But if we turn on our senses, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, a walk like this can be very healing. Our body can do more than just function. It can feel amazing. We just need to learn to let sensuality back into our lives. Patients often ask me what they can do at home to be healthier and to reduce their levels of tension. And they expect me to give them exercises. Which sometimes I do, but oftentimes I say, do everything that feels really good. Because when do we actually do that? Going to the sauna or taking a hot bath are an exception for most people, not the average. And clothes are there to look good, not to feel comfortable. Sensorial pleasure is not talked about in our performance-oriented society, nor in the health sector. The trend of mindfulness that was popular a few years ago pointed into that direction, but I find this approach quite cognitive as well. Just its name, mindfulness, is very mind-oriented. It is about calming your thoughts and focusing on the task in front of you. To me, that sounds like work and getting something done, and I think that is why this trend never really took off. What we also love to do is connect pleasure with guilt. You ate a Nutella crepe on the Christmas market because you really fancied it, and now you feel bad because you were so good on your diet before. So now you either throw away everything because you're weak anyways and you eat only junk for the next 2 weeks, or you punish yourself by skipping dinner to compensate for the mistake. I wholeheartedly believe that sensuality and pleasure are two key aspects of health, but also to develop a beneficial relationship towards the own body. Maybe your body does not look the way you want it to. Maybe it never will. But the feeling of satiation after a home-cooked meal feels so nice. Maybe you need 10 hours of sleep instead of 6 to 8 as most health coaches advise. But your body feels so nice tucked in under your cozy blanket. And maybe this painful inattention that you feel is your body's cry for, hey, I exist. Please feel me. And when you don't feed your soul through sensorial pleasures of your body, maybe they have no other choice than scream. I want to read you a quote of one of my favorite books, The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. This passage is written in the introduction, and I was 16 when I read it for the first time. And since then, it is one of the sentences that accompanies me through life. Those who find ugly meanings in beautiful things are corrupt without being charming. This is a thought. Those who find beautiful meanings in beautiful things are the cultivated. For these there's hope. They are the elect to whom beautiful things means only beauty. Now let me freely translate beauty to sensuality. Sensuality for the sake of sensuality. Just because it feels good. If we have serious issues with our body, when we are sick or in pain, we feel bad. And this feeling is not easy to measure or explain, can't really be rationalized. But you still feel bad. So what if you start seeing your body as a living subject instead of an object that has to function? A subject that you can have a vivid relationship with. Because if you learn to speak and understand your body's language, you can learn how to communicate. Maybe you can prevent your next crash, the next exhaustion, the next migraine. You can train that in simple steps. I think diet works quite well for this, as long as you have a more or less healthy relationship with food. While thinking about today's lunch, you can ask yourself, what do I really fancy? Do I need something warm or cold, something light or heavy? Do I need protein, or does my body ask for a colorful salad? What texture do I want to feel in my mouth? How is it supposed to smell? Imagine all that. Cooking and food preparation are also very sensorial tasks. You touch the food, you smell it, you hear the sound of cutting it. All this is part of the indulgence and also part of a healthy digestion. You can train your appetite very well, and one day your body will start saying, "Today I need fish or cabbage or walnuts." By learning how to eat intuitively, you will also get slim easily, but that is not really the goal for now. To build such a vivid relationship with your body takes time, and it's not that easy. To let go of the expectations toward yourself can feel unsafe and arise questions of identity. And an intuitive, sensory-oriented access to oneself also requires to put away all tracking tools. I think I will do an episode about these smartwatches one day, but then suddenly there are no more external parameters that can give you stability. Suddenly it's only you and yourself, and you are responsible for knowing what is good for you. I can only recommend this path to everyone, because when you start to feel good one day, you will also stop caring about your reflection in the mirror. And you can start to reintegrate something to your life that you, as a human, were made for. This is why we all have these senses. So I want to invite you to find something today that you will really enjoy. Please don't take a podcast or a book, nothing intellectual, something purely sensual. For me, it will be my afternoon coffee. Pick something that you will feel with your body and that will help you to get in contact with yourself again. That was it for today. As always, you can find me on Instagram. My name is @paula.klisiewicz. If you want to book an appointment with me, the link is in the episode description. And if you want to do me a favor, you can follow this podcast and give it a good rating. This will help me out a lot. Thank you so much for listening. See you soon.